says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills of his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." We're in a time of thankfulness and thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for Jesus Christ, that he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. As a matter of fact, he was before the beginning. Look at Revelation 1, verse number 18. Revelation 1:18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the beginning and the end of all things. And by the way, man's not going to destroy God's creation. He's not going to destroy himself. God has decreed. And what God decrees, you can take it to the bank and count on it. As a matter of fact, it's more secure, far more than the bank, far more than anything else in this world today. If he set it forth, then you can count on it. He's the beginning, the end. After all, John 1 tells us that there was nothing made without him. He was there, he made all things, and nothing was made without him. He's the beginning of creation, and he is going to be the ending of creation. And the reason it has to end is because of the sinfulness of mankind. That's the reality of it. The reality is not God being mean or mad or upset or taking it out on somebody. Listen, sin and the sin of man is what brought a curse on this earth to where we have to use chemical fertilizers to grow our food and other things like this. Sin limited, sin began and destroys God's creation. And so he's going to one day, as he began it, he's going to end it, but he's going to have a new creation that will be perfect, and man will not sin ever again forevermore. That's right. How do we know? Because he said when he saved us, he gave us eternal life. And he promised a day of redemption of that purchased seed, the redemption of that body, and that resurrection when Jesus shall return. We need to be thankful for Jesus Christ because he is the Alpha and Omega, and he is the author and finisher even of our faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews 12 chapter and verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now, by the way, that's the faith once delivered to the saints. That's the faith that he committed to his New Testament churches. That's a system of doctrine and practice that's set forth in the Word of God. That's the pattern for man living his life here on this earth and doing it in an assured hope of continuing eternally. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice what he said. He did it for the joy that was set before him. Now what joy is that? We go over to the book of Revelation and we begin to read and we find out his joy is with a group of redeemed from all the earth that was redeemed by his blood, being gathered around him and worshiping and giving him honor and glory. He looked forward and he saw that. He knows that will come to pass. When sin is taken out of the way, when sin is destroyed and removed, then he will be able to enjoy the sweet fellowship with those whom he created in his image and in his likeness. And that's mankind, the redeemed of mankind. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. No wonder Moses could say that he counted a greater treasure to suffer with those of the Lord than it would to gain the riches and wealth of all the world. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, wait a minute. For God to despise something, man, that's a pretty powerful statement. That's a pretty powerful condition. That's a pretty deep condition. That ought to tell us how our sins affect our God and how deep that it goes into his heart and into his soul. He endured the shame, despising it, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to be thankful that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, that he is the author and finisher of our faith, that he is the chief among 10,000. Look at Song of Solomon 5 and verse number 10. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. That's Jesus. Did you know that among 10,000, that it's actually saying among an unlimited and innumerable host of people or of individuals. He's the fairest. He's the greatest. After all, being in that condition without sin and having no sin nature was why he could do what he did for you and me. That he could secure our eternity. That he could take us and remove us from, and remove sin from us. That we might live without sin and suffering and sorrow for all of eternity. Man, do we have a lot to be thankful to the Lord for tonight. We need to remember Jesus because he has all power in heaven and in earth. Look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And that power was made it possible for him to do the great, wonderful things that he did and had to do in the redeeming of mankind. That's Matthew 28 and verse number 18. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, he has all power. What does that mean? Think about it. It means there's no power greater than he. There's none that have any greater power. And you know what? We ought to rest content and secure because when we walk by his side, as Enoch walked with him, we walk in the power of God. No power greater. No power. It's not our power. He doesn't give it to us, but he walks with us. And when we get rid of the arrogance of our sinful nature and lift ourselves up higher than we ought to be, and we humble ourselves and submit, that power works on our behalf. Many an individual. The power of God. Brother Henry French, he was a missionary and a preacher here in the state years ago. He was in World War II. He drove a tank. And when he was out there in that tank, they were in battle. That's when he got saved. Did you know that power that we're talking about was in that tank with him? And through that power, he got redeemed by the grace of God. And then that power called him to preach. And within that power, he did work for the Lord in establishing New Testament churches and pastoring New Testament churches, teaching and feeding God's people. Did you know that in that tank, it changed his eternal destiny from the pits of hell to the glories of heaven? It gave him what he needed to endure in a battle. And we have men who see the horrors of battle and come home all messed up. And most of them come that way because they don't have that power that they can walk in. They depend on themselves. They depend on man. They depend on the accomplishments of man. But listen, he has all power, not only on earth, but in heaven and in earth. He has power over all flesh. Look at John 17 and verse number 2. And after all, he should have, because they belong to him. He created every one of them in their mother's womb. John 17 and verse number 2, it says, "And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." He has power over all flesh, that as many as the Father gives him, he can give them eternal life with that power. Again, change their eternal destiny. We need to be thankful that he is the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 24. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Christ, the power of God. Did you know that as a man he had that power? Did you know he's the only man that ever possessed that power? You know what? He didn't have that sin nature, so he had that great power. And through him, he accomplished what it took to redeem all of mankind. Because of it, there's no need for anyone to die and go to hell. Every man should go to heaven. Because of that power and what he was able to accomplish as a man through that power. He knows all things. We need to be thankful that he does know all things. Look at John. John chapter 21 and verse number 17 says, "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, that's John 21:17, isn't it? Okay, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Huh? Jesus knew how much he loved him. Jesus knew already. Peter didn't have to tell him. But he wanted Peter to know that he knew. And he wanted Peter to know that loving him, the fleshly love, was not good enough. He wanted him to love him in the spirit. Not love him with a head knowledge, but love him with all of his heart. And to understand and realize that he knew him, his very thoughts, his very intents. He has all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at Colossians 2 and verse number 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of our faith in Christ. He has all treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. He is our wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. The Bible says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see, he's all these things and has all these attributes so that he can help mankind. Mankind put himself in a destructive life. He has these powers, he has these abilities that he might take and bring man out of that destructive life and bring him to a life of righteousness, to a life that will be eternal, everlasting, and without end. And it will be a life of joy and not a life of sorrow and of grief. What a blessing that it is. We need to thank the Lord for his blessing. He is present in the midst of his people. And by the way, folks, turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. His presence is in the midst of his people. Is in the midst of a New Testament church. His office work is comforter to that church. When we come together, he's present in our midst. To come into the presence of Jesus. Just talking the other day about this very thing. When you come into a New Testament church, you can feel a warmth and you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You go into another church that doesn't belong to the Lord, a man-made church, a religious group. You walk into their midst and that's not there. Because the Holy Spirit is not there. And brethren, as members of a New Testament church, we need to be thankful that we have the comforting warmth of that Spirit when we come together in this capacity. And by the way, we ought to prepare ourselves and be more open to the presence of the Spirit and receiving the witness of the Spirit that we may be made to rejoice when we come together. Did you know there was a time when missionary Baptist churches come together and the preaching got started after the singing warmed them up? The preaching got started and there was amens, praise the Lord, and hallelujah. And there was rejoicing. There was even shouting. And then the holiness come along. And we didn't want to be identified with them. So we gave it up. Now, I'm not talking about a put-on. I'm talking about a genuine. And you know what? There was a people in those days didn't have the good, easy life you and I have. Do you know the good life that I have keeps me from walking closer to Jesus? Did you know the good life that I have keeps me from yielding to his presence in the service? And I'm convinced you too. You know why? Because this old pride that we have, this old nature of ours, it takes a lot to break it down. It takes a lot to bring us to a place of humility where we can really experience the presence of the Spirit. Yeah. But if you do, now I can't say there hasn't been times when I've sat in the pew and I'll tell you, I feel the presence of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, it's ebbed in these last few years. It's ebbed in the last few years. And I hadn't said amen out loud, but I did inside. I didn't say praise the Lord, but I did to the Lord myself. Listen, we're losing the spirituality of the house of the Lord. And lost people will come in because of it. And the presence of the Spirit will not be as prominent or convicting on their hearts and dealing with them. We need to be mindful. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to come in to the presence of the Lord with the humility and the respect that he deserves. And we need to be thankful that he will come into our presence. Yeah. Yeah, he's here even when we don't want him. He's here when we're not willing to open up and to receive him as we'd ought to. And yet, he's here. He doesn't give up. His presence is even to the end of the world. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse number 20. Matthew 28 and verse 20. Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He promised to be with us, promised to be with his churches in that office work, and the Holy Spirit as comforters. As a matter of fact, 2 Thessalonians tells us that the influence of his churches on society is the only thing that keeps the full works of the Antichrist completely taking over this world. It's he who now let will let until the Antichrist comes. That's withholdeth. Withhold what? The works are already here, the Bible says, the works of the Antichrist. Staying with the subject matter. Listen. We need to remember and be thankful. His presence should cause our hearts to burn within us. Look at Luke 24, verse 32. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within? Hey, these men were humble and yielded and sorrowful for their loss. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? When we come together, that's why we come. It's to open the scriptures. It's to receive it. The message that God has, and for us to apply it to our lives, that we'll be able to feel the presence of the Spirit. We'll be able to experience the joy that would come. We'll be able to experience that spirit of revival like they experienced this burning within their hearts. We need to remember and be thankful to Jesus because his promise of soul rest. Look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. I'll tell you what, the weakness of my flesh. But I'll tell you something else. I sometimes just yearn to be able to go off someplace and just listen to the quiet. To have peace. Not have to be constantly going through my mind, what am I going to do about this? And how can I help that one? And what can we do with this one? And how should we go about that? I just like to have a little time where I can have some peace and rest. Yeah. Listen, he's promised if we'd come to him that he would give us rest. And we should be thankful. His promise of justification. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that power of salvation, power of God unto salvation, power that flows through him. Did you know a lost person, the Bible makes it clear that they're a sinner, that they're condemned already, and they're condemned because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're condemned because they refuse to trust him. They refuse to humble themselves. They refuse to give up what they're practicing in trying to appease God. They refuse. But when one will give up self and give that up and put their faith and trust in Jesus, he'll give us peace. Peace with God. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he obtain it? He obtained it by coming in the flesh, being born of a virgin. Took upon himself the flesh of man. And in that flesh, he suffered from the time he was born until the time that his life was given on the cross of Calvary. He suffered shame and reproach, and he suffered aches and pains, and he suffered greatly because the Bible makes it clear that the light was shined upon his bones. He was in such a mess you couldn't recognize who he was when they hung him on the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification. He did something that no other could do, no other man could do. Because there's no other man that was without sin. There was no other man that was righteous except Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he was able to fulfill the law and make up for Adam breaking the law. Make up for you and I breaking the law when we come to the age of accountability, the knowledge of good and evil, and the Spirit of God drew us and we turned and went our own way. Didn't want anything to do with the Lord. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification. You got to believe with all your heart that Jesus was God and that he did shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and he ascended up and poured it out at the altar of God and made a covering for our sins. When we believe and trust in him with all of our heart, he's promised to give us justification. His promise is eternal life. John 11, verses 25 and 26. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we were all dead in trespasses and sin until he made us alive. That death simply means we were separated from God and all that was good. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, sir, you can count on it. When we put your faith and trust in Jesus, you do it with your heart. He gives you everlasting life. You better believe it, because that's the only way one gets saved. You can't do a good enough work. You can't be good enough. You can't have enough morals. You can't do anything, nor can any other man, or even mankind, or society, or religion. They can't do what Jesus does. You've got to depend on what he did and leave man out of it completely, beginning with self and then all others. And simply believe and trust that Jesus did what he said he would. He suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again. And he did it for you and me. Let's stand. What shall we sing? 104. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, would you come to Jesus? Not ask you to come to this preacher, not ask you to come to this church or this people. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. I'm asking you to put your faith and trust in him to the saving of your soul. I'm asking you to believe in him with all your heart. I'm asking you to trust in what he did, not in what you're doing, or you have done, or you can do. There are believers in hell, but they believe in the wrong thing. In order to be one in heaven, you must believe in and trust in Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. As we look to the Lord in dismissal prayer, I hope each and every one has a very happy and thankful Thanksgiving. Hope the Lord will bless those that are traveling, keep them safe. We need to remember the prayer requests made tonight and at other times in our services. We need to keep them before the Lord. And brethren, it takes effort to walk close to the Lord. It takes effort to get close to the Lord. It takes some putting off and putting on, the Bible reveals to us. And it's up to us as to how close a relationship we're going to have with the Lord and how much he's going to be able to bless our lives. Brother Jeremy concludes.